Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hi guys, welcome to From Lads to Dads. This week we've got Vicky Basarias on. She's an award-winning blogger, author and filmmaker. And she's got so much knowledge in terms of parenting and just being an honest parent. And I think that's what we're all about, is being honest and not, you know, fancying it up and making it all Instagram likeable. Actually what parent is like. So I really hope you enjoy this. Due to the lockdown, we've had to do this interview via Zoom, so the audio quality isn't fantastic, but the content hopefully is. So, hope you enjoy, guys. Give us some feedback, let us know what you think, and we hope you enjoy. Everybody, welcome to From Lads to Dads. Today we'll be talking to Vicky Basarias, award-winning mum blogger. So hopefully, Vicky, you're going to help us be better parents. Because, I mean, your blog's great. Your book's fantastic. So, yeah, how are you handling lockdown?
You know, some days are good and other days I just want to pull my hair out. So I don't know if I've got masses of wisdom. What I have been doing is sharing kind of whatever. I record these tips which I've been sharing on social media, things that are helping me. But I'm also really honest about the rubbish days and the days where we go, actually, we're having an insect day today. Woo! No teacher, no homeschool. So I think we just have to be really super kind to ourselves. And everybody's situation's different.
What sort of day has it been for you today? Has it been a good day? Has it been a bad day? Or
no, it's been all right, actually. Like, my 10-year-old basically just got on with stuff, and he does want help from me at times, but generally he just cracks on, which is good. And he's and my little one, well, he's not really little, he's 7, but he's still little to me, has been great. So I've had quite a full-on work day today, so it's actually been really nice to be able to give my work attention in daylight hours instead of nighttime, because I am doing a lot of writing at night, and actually I'm one of these people that doesn't sleep well anyway, so I only get a good night's sleep if I kind of switch off early, yet I do a job that doesn't really allow me to do that. So I have to try and find a way, to make that better, really. So I am trying, today, after we do this, I'm writing something new at the moment, so I'm committing to 500 words a day. So I'm going to, like, log off from this after we do this recording. I'm going to quickly eat, and then I'm just going to do 500 words, and then I'm going to do something totally different. I'm going to read, or I'm going to, like, watch something on Netflix, and then I'm going to go to bed. Because I find if I do work until midnight, I'm up till 3, just my head's buzzing. I think it's really hard as parents, because we've got this flexible working, a lot of us, not all of us, but say if you're a blogger or you're working online, and that's really great. But then the flexibility means that, yeah, you can work any time, but it can still affect your life, because, you know, you might be working really late or not sleeping enough. And I definitely think I'm guilty of that a lot. So,
But I think that's, sometimes I think that is, it's the case of being creative, I think, because a lot of the time when people are creative, they're their mind is going 100 miles an hour, and I think do find it hard to sleep. And my friend,
is that
actually,
why I can just sleep like that then?
I
I just fall asleep straight away, is it?
Oh, my husband's like that. I hate people like you. It's so annoying. Especially, like, yeah, my husband just sleep anywhere, anytime. So annoying. But, yeah, you're lucky, though, that you can do that, Ben.
Well, to be fair, I was telling Matt earlier, today, a Thursday, is really hard because my wife, she's a midwife, so she works, like, 14-hour day. So I've got a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I've got a 11-year-old upstairs, but he just cracks on with his PlayStation. So I've got to keep the kids happy all day, and it's been a meltdown today, absolute meltdown. They hid the car keys on Sunday for an hour and a half, so we couldn't find that. And the tablet that I was going to use today, because I'm on my phone, I used it the other day and they hid it and I don't know where it is. I've checked the washing machine, I've checked the crisp cupboard, I've checked out the front in case they're thrown out the window. So yeah, I'm losing technology. Well, I don't know what's going to go next week. Probably the telly will be gone tomorrow. I don't know what they're killing me.
Oh my gosh. It is so hard, like, to have toddlers and, you know, your 1-year-old's a baby. It's difficult.
Mm. Well, the 1-year-old, he's more like a... He's a bit more, what's the word? Theo, my 2-year-old, is quite sensitive and quite funny, and he likes to keep himself to himself. Ronnie is like a bulldozer. So Ronnie just runs at him and wants to play with him, and Theo doesn't like it, and he's very rough, and stuff gets missed. And just
so you've got two young boys and an older boy.
Yeah, the eldest, 11, he's my stepson, and Theo and Ronnie are mine. But the 11-year-old, he's a dream, just goes upstairs. He does a bit of schoolwork in the morning. But yeah, I haven't seen him today. But I think he has Thursdays off because he knows I'll let him off with some stuff because I'm feeling too nice.
Thursdays. But your wife's doing an amazing thing, you know, frontline, midwifery. Lots of women are having babies at the moment. And it's so important that, you know, that's wonderful that she's doing that and great that you're able to help as well and do the childcare. You know, it's not just working from home. You're actually like, you know, you're working at home because you can't go to work or because the whole world has changed. So for me, I work from home anyway. I mean, things have changed though anyway in terms of, like, you know, I'm not obviously going to studios or doing shoots or going for meetings. But I think we're all just adapting to this brave new world. And I think that a lot of the elements that we're seeing now are going to continue, right? There's going to be a lot more remote working.
Definitely, yeah. That's what I'm struggling with as a father, really. Because with me and with my wife, I'm a gas engineer at the moment by trade. Yeah. So when she's at work, I stay at home. And when I'm at work, she's at home. So it's like our only free time is like going actually to work. And then in the evenings, we're both shattered. And, you know, we sit there, we're covered in ketchup because the kids have like wiped all over our face. There's nappies that need to, like, you know, be filled up in the box, and there's wipes. Oh, we've run out of wipes. Someone's got to do a quick run over to the co-op, 2 meter distance.
It's never ending, is it?
No.
I'm calling myself Cinderella at the moment because I just feel like, you know, all I'm doing is cooking, cleaning, sorting, you know, and then. But I suppose this is our, like, normality, and for a lot of us that kind of get a break when we actually go to work or when our kids go to school.
That's definitely like you were saying about podcasting. Going to, like, this is like probably what it's going to be like for a while, digitally. But when me and Matt get together and we are in a room together, we bounce off each other, and also it's like a therapy. That's why we mainly got together to start this, was we were both going through like a bad time, and we just thought, we talk hours on the phone, a load of nonsense, and normally moaning about our kids and funny situations and things in the past. Let's put it to, hopefully someone else can listen to it and get very, very positive.
I think that's amazing, because I think that not enough male voices are out there, and particularly dads. And I think that as men, you know, in society, you have a lot of pressure to seem strong. And there's a lot of, like, toxic masculinity as well, that men should, you know, man up and not talk about their feelings. And I'm raising my sons as, you know, to not feel that way and to kind of understand their emotions. And, you know, I'm trying my best to anyway. Obviously, there's going to be elements and pressures that come externally, but I want them to feel strong enough to know it's okay to cry, to talk, and for you guys to set this up, this podcast, but also to have that friendship. That's a really important thing. You know, you're not just don't think dads are depicted that kind of honestly in the media, in a way. Like, I don't know, I think we need to see more of it so that we kind of, we understand what you guys are going through and your feelings. And I think what was a real turning point was when that research came out about dads who also get postnatal depression.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I thought that was really important that, when you have, particularly when you have a first baby, it's such a massive shock to the system. Yes, women go through the hormonal thing, but the partner, if it's a man, and it's not always a man, obviously, Sarah, I don't think that, talking as in like our situations, then, and even if you're not a man, you're still going to, as a partner, if you're a woman, going to go through this as well, because it's a shock, it's a change to your complete world. You've gone from, I mean, I was very naive before my first baby. I just thought, this is going to be easy. I've held babies. I have cousins that are babies. It's going to be so easy. It's not easy. It's sleep deprivation. It's hormonal changes. It's your whole life has changed. Your work routine, your relationship is different because you don't have spontaneity and you're sharing your time and energy. Like, everything changes. Mm. But I think that in 2010, because I started my blog in 2010, before then, you know, before blogs and social media and Instagram and stuff, or at the start of it, it felt really lonely to be a parent. It felt really lonely. And this kind of chat and this honest discourse around parenting was just not common. Like, everyone was pretending.
Yeah.
Everyone's pretending. You go to like NCT groups and everyone's like, pretending that they're fine. That is so exhausting. Imagine not being fine, having to pretend you're fine, and then on top of that, having to socialise with people you don't even know.
I think that's why me
and
Matt were
very lucky, because we both, between Maya, who's Theo, and Autumn, yeah, Matt's daughter, is 3 months. So when we both had our kids, me and him were the only people who knew, because we were both exactly the same. We're both laddie. We used to go out drinking and partying. And then we never wanted to admit that instantly it changes, your responsibilities change, and you've got to come to terms with that as a father, come to terms with that. So when you go and like see your other friends who haven't got kids and they go, oh, it must be amazing, and you're like pretending like you said, you're there going, oh, actually, no, last night I got up to my elbows in poo because a kid was up at 3 o'clock, or I got a sick all over my face, and you're like, no, it's brilliant. And then you have to like sort of come back to reality. And then Matt was, for me, a person I'd vent to and be like, Matt, you never guess this. Theo's only gone and thrown his toothbrush down the toilet. And then after, you know, me brushing his teeth and he's thrown down the toilet, I can't get it. I was like, oh my God. And then he'd have a story.
And as an engineer, if you can't retrieve a toothbrush from the toilet,
I'm no good at it, honestly. I've started to think to myself, do you know,
how did you guys find each other then? How did you and Matt?
We knew each other from uni, really. Yeah, we were at university together, and we sort of did all that type of stuff. And then it wasn't like we synced watches, but we got our partners pregnant at the same time. And I think it's interesting that you say about sort of male postnatal depression, because it's such a taboo subject, and it's such something that is almost laughed at if you mention it. But I think in a way that sort of led to the podcast, because we were both not just finding it hard, but we were very, very low and helping each other through. And I started looking into it, and, you know, it was saying that males' hormones change at the same time so that they can be more adaptive to the children and softer and everything else.
And also suddenly you have this huge pressure, like as women do, to like keep this person, this baby alive, to bring money in, like both the partners, but because the mother tends to have the maternity leave, you do have more pressure, because, and also you've got more pressure because as a workplace, it's not set up to kind of, so for it's not easy for mums to go back to work with kids anyway, so suddenly you're lumbered with this world where you suddenly have more pressure on your hands than ever before as a man. So in the way that it's unequal for women in the workplace, it's also unequal for you in Britain. There's other countries that are getting it right, but there's such a long way to go. And I think that being able to talk about that and is kind of setting other men free. Do you know what I mean? Other dads free. Going, like, I'm not the only one. I worked in a really male-orientated industry as a TV director. And I had a lot of people question me when I was pregnant, saying, oh, what a big risk you're taking because, you know, you're a TV director, because very few, there's only about 4% of women are directors. Mm. It's a very male-dominated kind of field. And I think there's a reason for that, because it's not very flexible. You know, we're talking pre-corona, but it was really inflexible. You had to work like 12, and let's be honest, mostly 14-hour days. And then once you have kids, how can you do that? So then there are fewer directors, and then it's just difficult. It's really, really tricky. And I actually naively thought I could just go back to it. And I realised when I did go back to things that I just wasn't seeing my baby.
Yeah.
And that was really shit. So I was like, actually... But then I was really lucky that blogging kind of exploded, because I didn't start my blog. I didn't even think it was possible to earn from a blog, because no one was really doing it here at all. They were doing it in America, but that's not why I set it up. I genuinely didn't know about that. And I was actually, I was going back to directing, and then I sort of worked out, oh, I can earn like the same money writing a blog and being with my kids than directing and having to like leave my home and travel and not see my kids. And it just made sense to go, actually, I'm gonna become a blogger.
I think that's one of the positive influences that coronavirus will have on the workplace, is that a lot of people who are now working from home will have the clout to turn around and say, actually, I can work from home. I've done it now. So reduce my hours and let me work part of it from home. Let me not.
Massively. I mean, Twitter announced that they're indefinitely going to let people that work at Twitter work remotely. Mm. So they don't need to like go into meetings. Lots of companies are going to start adapting. In the next decade, automation is going to like mean that lots of people are going to lose their jobs and have to like upskill in digital skills.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a lot of changes, and Corona is just fast-track these changes. So, for instance, lots of products and stuff are all going online. Lots of businesses are going online. They're having to adapt. Yeah. You know, if you think what we're going through at the moment is such change, but a lot of businesses that were having problems, I think, are going to just, you know, die out. There's going to be fewer newspapers. And that's a shame, you know. People were changing their habits anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, people were mostly using their phones. Certain papers were doing okay. On the whole, you've got to adapt with how people are consuming media and using media. And not really, it's a shame people are going to lose their jobs. I think if we can just have a bit of foresight now and go, right, the next few years we're going to see radical change. So what can I be doing now to armour myself with digital skills, with working online, you know, so that you can kind of be prepared, basically.
Well, I know you're a big part of Working Mums Academy.
So just set this up with, so it's a new business that myself and Lisa Griffiths and Jack Freud have set up. It's called the Working Mums Academy, and it's digital courses. There's an Instagram bundle you can get, so that it's got like prompts so you get inspired. To, you know, for Instagram content, also like templates, so you can make your Instagram look beautiful, you can choose from all different templates, you can put on them, put your images, and just so that when new followers come to your Instagram or anybody comes, it looks really beautiful. So yeah, we wanted to share, you know, I wanted to share like everything I've learned in 10 years and help other women. And that's the same with my book, Mum Boss. It's, you know, it came out 2 years ago. People are still sharing it now, buying it, finding it really useful, because an online career does give you stability. You know, blogging, Instagramming, businesses more than ever want to communicate with people like us that are being really honest. Basically like a magazine of my life, right? Honest Mum. So I write about however I'm feeling and what's going on in our lives. And then we work with brands that we genuinely love. Like, I say no to probably 80-90% of inquiries. Just work with brands that I like, you know, because I want to be honest with, you know, I'm never going to endorse something that my family don't like and I don't like. Yeah. You know, that's just because it's not worth it. I would never do that. So think it's kind of and it's just evolved and it's growing. Now we're doing the courses to help
something, or is it too late to start something online? Not at all. Online is exploding. Not too late to start a podcast. Not too late to start blogging. Not too late to start an Instagram account. You know, be proactive. Learn as much as you can. But like you say about the creativity thing, I think that what was wonderful about, you know, the I started a blog, but that for once I felt really in control of my voice and my opportunities. Don't need to ask anybody to hit publish, to reach an audience, to grow, to write how you're feeling. And I think that's a really liberating thing, because when I worked in traditional media, you would write something, it would go, you know, would it get commissioned, would it, you know, and that's all, that's a very different way of working, and there's some lovely plus points of that, because you get the expertise and experience of editors and then that produce all the kind of things, but what is brilliant is, with this, you just write, or you make a film, and you just put it out there, you know, and you, and a like-minded audience finds you, and for me, that's just so democratic. Like wonderful,
but
anybody can do that.
And I think, like you say, with women as well, it's I used to run a TV and film academy in London, and one of the most difficult things to find was to find monologues and things like that for women, because the amount that there was for men compared to women was ridiculous, whereas this gives people, I think, the ability to take their own destiny in their own hands and create creative stuff and create amazing, you know, amazing projects. So that's, I think that's a really, really positive step.
Yeah, and there's lots of ways to create and build businesses online. You could have e-shops, you can write blogs, you can create Instagram, you know, account. You can just storytelling online. Because I was a writer and a director, obviously I came to blogging like a skill, you know, with skill set, with kind of these skills, but you can learn as well. You can, there's courses out there, like my courses, there's other courses, you can read lots of other blogs. Like, it's, you can actually see results quite quickly. You don't, you know, within 9 months, can build a personal brand that's doing, you know, even earlier than that, I got my first paid gig, I think 6 weeks in from starting a blog. So, you know, you can be earning decent money quickly. I wrote Memboss, there was a journalist, I can't remember her name now, and she said that blogging and sort of mummy kind of, you know, social media and all that kind of stuff by mums reminded her of, like, the Tupperware kind of, you know, the way that women would go to each other's houses and sell stuff that they liked to one another and talked about it. And that's kind of, you know, what, in a, you know, much more complex way and sophisticated way, although there's nothing wrong with Tupperware. Really, always have Tupperware. but it's that thing of going, actually, you know, let me talk about motherhood, and then let me tell you about products that work for me and brands that I'm working with. And yeah, I think it's brilliant. It's amazing to see so many mums and dads that are creating brilliant businesses out of a situation where usually you're given the short straw in business. You know, where usually you're told, as a woman particularly, no, you can't have a flexible job. No, you have to come back full time or 4 days. Oh, you've got to do this. Oh, childcare costs are so expensive. And you're given all these short straws. By the end of it, you're like, I've had these kids. Can I even see these kids? Because I'm working so much and I'm home late. And I'm, whereas blogging and all these other things online have gone, here you go. You can see your kids. You can make them. It doesn't mean it's easy. It doesn't mean that you don't still compromise, but you're able to do something that doesn't require, you know, for what you're paid for the volume of time, like the amount of time, it's a really great way to work. Of course it is.
I mean,
with me and Matt, like you said, with me and Matt starting this podcast, every time we do it,
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Our mental health, like, it's the strongest I've ever felt, honestly. I was struggling with a bit of depression back end of the last year. Then we've started this, and when we get together and do it, it's like we've stumbled across something that we should have done this years ago. And we're now both getting to a position where we're starting to find our, like, fan base sort of thing, our areas of, like, you know, people who come to us and like what we do. And then we think, actually, yeah, well, this is the future for us. We want to really push on and, you know, try and emulate
and
something.
I think if you guys have a blog, a website, and you're also doing that with your podcast, would be a really great thing for you, because what's amazing with a blog that's like, you know, I like Instagram, I like these other handles, I love Pinterest, I love Twitter. What happens with a blog is you own that space. You're not renting social media space. Mm. A bit like with your podcast. Yeah, you use, you know, it's your, but even, you know, a blog's so special because it's your platform and anybody can find you from that. And, you know, and then you can take it in turns to write. You just need 2 blog posts a week to rank in Google. You can do your bit with your podcast. I mean, I know people that I've recommended that they start, you know, a blog, and within days they're on TV sofas. You know, it's literally that easy to be discovered. You share your opinions. You write stuff. You could even, like, transcribe to podcaster and put that as blog posts. There's tools that you can pay to do that, or you can do it, or you can work with a social media manager. You know, your Twitter, all these things. And I think you should read my book, boys. You'll read it, guys.
We'll have to
get you a copy. But ultimately, I think, you know, what I say in my book is that before, in the sort of film and TV industry, if you put 100% into that, you'd only ever get 50% back, right? You put 50% into online stuff, you get 100% back, honestly, because of the way that SEO works and the way that, like, you are just so discoverable once you're online. Yeah, opportunities find you, and you can find opportunities really easily. You can even look on Twitter and look at hashtag journo requests. Right, and you can find opportunities, case studies, people want you on telly, like, it's all out there, you know. There's no, I was thinking, if this virus had hit 15 years ago, how different that would have looked for us, but not having the online, not being able to Google stuff, not having access to information, not being connected in this way with our family, like, we're really lucky what we've got with the internet. When used, like, in a meaningful way, is just a gift, really. So definitely. It can be an emotional lifeline, a financial lifeline. It can be really positive. Yeah, there are downsides. You know, I get trolls. I get sent some dodgy pictures and stuff. But ultimately, it's like, you know, the positives do outweigh the negatives.
Yeah.
And I think I've had to find ways to, like, navigate this industry, because this industry doesn't always sit with my values. I think this industry, kind of generally, like the media industry, you know, I feel like sometimes people try and, I don't know, like, use one another or exploit one another, and that's not my style, like, ever. And there's things that kind of jar with me about this industry, but there's so many amazing things about this industry. And like I say, because those outweigh those things. But obviously, it's a tricky one to navigate. I'm someone that's open and wear my, you know, heart on my sleeve. I believe in equality, and I hate this concept of, like, hierarchy, as in, like, oh, just because, like, say, I've been blogging for 10 years accidentally, yeah, I didn't invent blogging, you know, that just because I've been around for longer, that doesn't mean that I'm any better than anybody else, or that my quality would be better. That isn't how creativity works. So for me, I find it really strange when people are like, you know, define you as, like, a big blogger, or, you know, people say, oh, you know, you're a hero, and all those things, like, yeah, they're nice and they come from a well-meaning place, but me as a person, like, the stuff that I created as a director, the way I work with people, I think that's really weird to me, a little bit of a monolith. And I suppose that's why I really love helping other people, because I don't want them to get trapped. Because I think once you start doing that and saying, oh, but you know, those other daddy bloggers, they've got 100,000 followers, that's okay, that's great. But that's not, you know, you might get there in no time, or it might take years, who knows? But actually, that isn't a value of success. What a value of success is creating content that moves people, that resonates. And, you know, to me, that for me is just keep honing what you're doing. And I say that about my own work as well. And sort of have fun with it. Keep saying to yourself, you know, am I having fun? Because I think we can get very trapped and locked down in the numbers. And you've got to realize that social media wants you to be worrying about numbers, wants you to be worrying about life, because they are a business, yeah? They want you to pay for ads. They want you to be concerned. They want, you know, that's the truth, because it's their business model that you're, and that's fine, really, because it's democratic. Like, that's okay. That's what they're doing. Doesn't mean you have to allow that to, like, dictate your happiness and your value of success.
Definitely.
Does that make sense? I don't know. I don't mean this in an ungrateful way, because I'm very grateful for the people that follow me. I'm so grateful for people that send me lovely messages. I just want them to know that we're all the same. Do you know what I mean? We're all just trying to get our stories out there and connect with people. And following doesn't equate to necessarily, like, work that's going to be meaningful to you. So I think that's what I want people to sort of realise that a bit more and talk about.
Well, I think that's what struck a chord with us, really, with yourself, is that we're sort of trying to portray the same message in terms of, I think the more we talk about parenthood, honestly, the more we can get rid of this feeling of shock and, you know, despair and everything else when it hits. Because if we're honest, it's brilliant. It's brilliant being a parent, but at the same time, it's bloody hard work, and it's not easy, and there's times when there's downsides as well. And like you say, with the whole toxic masculinity side of it, is there's a lot of pressure on dads to go to work, but also be a good dad, and then go and work all hours, and then come and be a good dad at the same time. And there's also that stigma of men not being very good at this, or they can't do the washing machine, or they don't do this, and sort of in the past.
Yeah, there's a lot of sexism that dads have to trawl through, and I know certain dads, friends of mine, that have said it's been uncomfortable being the only dad at the school gates, or one of very few. I'm hoping that's going to change now, post-corona, that people can work from home and get more involved. I would like to see greater equality and sharing of this load, mental and physical. I'm lucky that, although my husband doesn't have the flexible job and I do, he's hands-on. You know, as soon as he finishes work, he can help. He works from home a lot. So all those things mean that we have an equal partnership. And I think, you know, but I understand that it's not possible for everyone because of the way the workplace is set up and how jobs are sort of, you know, structured. But I also think it's important for people like you as role models to say, you know, to show that you're not gormless and you do know how to cook and do the machine. And, you know, like, I don't know where that's come from. That, I mean, there are some men, like there are some women, that are not going to be great at certain areas, but a lot of the time it's just about learning, trying, getting involved.
I think think we can be our own worst enemy sometimes, actually, men, to be honest, because in terms of talking and chatting about mental health and stuff, we've not done that very well, and we've put pressure on each other to not talk about it, and, you know, don't be a whatever, and calling each other names when they're doing it. But also, in the parenting side of it, I think generations
I'm
before...
I'm not yawning because I'm bored, by the way. My kid, honestly, just yawned.
I don't know if you're filming it.
Honestly, I've had to describe about 4 yawns, and I'm not bored. It's because my little one has a tummy bug in the night, and I've been up pretty much, you know, every few hours in the night, so I promise you I'm not bored. I also thought I just, like, made my ear bleed earlier before, but luckily I don't. So we've had a few near emergencies throughout this day, so anyway, I just want to clear that up. I think you're right that it's important to show, yeah, to talk.
Yeah, definitely, and I think maybe we have to, our generation needs to sort of clear up a little bit for the generation of men that came before us who might have got home from work and said, I don't know how to change a nappy. I don't know how to. Here he is. But, yeah.
Honestly, you're not boring me. No, I'm really sorry, guys. This is what happens when you do a podcast where it's near bedtime. I think any relationship is compromised, and there are going to be areas where people prefer. I mean, I'm just trying to think of an example. Like, my husband prefers cooking. So cleaning, he does clean as well, but, you know, he really enjoys cooking. It helps him relax. And because I actually really like organising and sort of things like that, and I don't mind doing a bit more of that, but it is balanced because he's doing more of one thing, I'm doing more of another. That's cool. I think you've just got to find your way and also be really honest about those discussions as well. But I think things are changing. Definitely things are changing. I think as mums like myself are sort of raising the next generation of boys to really do stuff and really get responsible and active. And there are lots of men that are doing things, and there's lots of, you know, equality in lots of households as well. It just, yeah, we have a long way to go. I think we need to, like, societal changes need to happen. We're 100 years from the gender pay gap. You know, women are a lot more economically fragile than men. I think women lose 4 years of their work life from having kids and then also looking after elderly parents. And those things tend to go to the woman. So there's a lot of bigger nuts that need cracking. So we'll see what happens. Let's hope that things, especially now with this tragedy of Corona, that has opened a lot of employers' eyes to the fact that people are able to work really effectively from home and with their kids being homeschooled.
You see,
imagine once the kids go to school, what can be achieved.
Well, yeah, I mean, for me, it flipped on its head because I work offshore, so my job is being isolated for 4 weeks at a time. This is sort of used to it, and I know, and I've adapted and things quite quick because that's the, you know, that when we're offshore, we have a set schedule and everything is exactly the same. And that sort of helped me in this situation because once you have a schedule, you adapt so much quicker. And everything normalises, but now, because
so
we've...
what do you do offshore? Are you looking for oil?
Wind farms.
What's that?
We sort of lay cables with a big ship, and we chuck a robot off the back, and then it digs into the seabed, and then it lays the cables.
What did you do at uni to get that done?
At uni, I did writing and performing comedy for TV, so completely different. I went into acting and I did stand-up and things like that for a few years, and then when autumn came along, my daughter, I then went back and did another degree in health and safety, and then went and did that. So it's... But yeah.
Wow. Just because you wanted, like, more stability, basically, because acting can be a bit...
If I'm honest with you, it's all for the money. it was.
Show me the money.
Exactly.
Well, it's difficult with acting. Anything like that, it's a creative career, is tough, right, to get the stable jobs coming in. Most people have a secondary job as well.
Yeah.
The fact that you've...
I was working partly... taking acting jobs, and in between I had a film and TV school, so it was trying to get people in on that, and then also getting the work, and I was in London most of the time, and my partner lived in Newbury, so it was going backwards and forwards, so in the end,
this makes sense. So you go off for 4 weeks, and then you're back home for 4 weeks.
Yeah, which again, is difficult not seeing Autumn, and then also adapting to... Every month she's changed, you know, and there's a new routine for the children and a new way of you sort of have to learn to be a dad again every 4 weeks because you're learning new skills very quickly.
That must be a kind of an interesting thing to get to kind of like process as well. But can you contact them while you're away or not?
Sometimes the internet is too bad, but other times you can use the internet to call them. You can't call them normally, very rarely. It's because I'm talking. It happens a lot when I talk to people.
I'm
falling. My eyes are going. Honestly,
it's all me.
What?
Yeah, no.
Honestly, like when a vet's got insomnia. I'm going to play this back.
Just play my voice. We're in the wrong game.
And then the little robot.
Straight out.
No, but honestly, I think you should write a children's book about this crazy career and robotics and all. I think you've got something there. Just, you know, you and Ben need to work out a little children's book.
Or a sleep podcast of some sort. We'll just change the
Is it ASMR? I want to do the talking.
How's your homeschooling going?
Well, it's going all right. I think I used to teach English GCSE, but I used to teach 16-year-olds, and then I did a bit of lecturing at unis and stuff. But it's a whole different ballgame when it's your own kids, and especially when it's like 7-year-olds, 10-year-olds. They've actually gotten into quite a good flow now. It took a while. At the beginning, they're away from their, you know, friends and teachers. But I feel like, I think my youngest, it's harder with him. And it's harder to keep his concentration. But we're loving things like all these apps and BBC Bite Size and, you know, and YouTube Kids. And they love, there's a lot of like educational, no, they are educational, shouldn't do the little bunny. No, they are educational, like stuff that's online that they can watch as well. And I mean, the schools have been amazing. They've set work, they've, you know, I cannot do 7-year-old math, which is a worry. I'm like, wow, there's a lot. I mean, it's hard, that math. So it made me feel a bit stupid in some ways. But thank goodness for Google. Google is a homeschooling parent's best friend. You know, my kid was doing something, and I was like, in the real world, you would just use your calculator on your phone. So let's do that. It's fine. Like, I think I'm just teaching them some, like, new life skills. And I've also been teaching them things like Oliver can make a cup of tea, use the kettle, put the dishwasher on. Because they were doing things like filling the dishwasher, but then I wasn't, like, letting them put the tablet in. Why? They're 7 and 10. They can do that. I'm actually really liking having, you know, two little butlers out of them. Brilliant.
Similar to what I've been teaching, my 2-year-old Theo can use a strimmer now. He's really decent. He's doing the strimmer in the garden, and
I don't even know what that is, but that was great.
Sharpens knives.
You know what a strimmer is? Like a lawnmower.
Okay, cool.
It's a dangerous tool. It was a joke that went straight over your head.
Sorry.
It's a good opportunity to, I mean, you obviously keep them in curriculum-based sort of subjects, but here we go. But it's also...
Will it make me
I do think it's a good way to get them into teaching the stuff that you'd like them to know, like you say, life skills. I mean, we set up a little treasure hunt in the chase near us, and I class that as geography.
What's the chase?
It's like a wooded area. But what we did is we buried something, and then we did a map and did the whole orienteering thing.
And that sounds complex.
Well, it was dead easy, but at the same time, it's better than sitting there and doing geography and sort of, you know, what rock is this or what is that, or it makes it fun.
You've done engaging stuff, and because of your acting, Matt, do you do all the voices when you read, like, books and things like that?
Honestly, I absolutely love it because I get so into it, and then I'm sort of like, right, let's get into the character. Let's build this up. Let's and scene.
Yeah, that's
I love that. So, do you guys meet when you're allowed to meet? Obviously, not at the moment. Would you meet up and you still go to the pub sometimes together and things like that?
Oh yeah, when his wife allows.
It's mainly now. It used to be go to the pub at 8 o'clock and stay there and go get kebab. Now it's maybe meet up for lunch and go pick up some fish fingers on the way home for the kids.
How times change.
It's not as hardcore as it used to be.
You can still have a blowout night, you know. Before Corona, I've had some really fun nights out with my friends. And yeah, it's difficult for parents, you know, it's a hard one the next morning because we're getting older, aren't we? But it's still good to remember yourself. And I've had some really fun girly holidays over the years. And I found that because I don't get out very much, I'm like the last one to leave. I just want to like take every minute from the night.
Yeah.
And I think you really appreciate that because you don't get it enough, right?
That's our problem, you see. We went to, our last blowout, we went to Bath, didn't we?
It went a bit too hard.
Yeah, Ben ended up asleep in the taxi. I ended up kissing an 80-year-old woman and singing Oliver in the street. So it just, yeah. it was.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, and how things have changed now with like just having a drink in your kitchen. But that's what I'm looking forward to after this period, to being able to like go out, see my friends. Like, I've realised what a hugger I am. Like I said to my friend, you know, spoke to on the phone a few hours ago, I said I just really love squishing people, like my friends obviously. And you know, like I've just missed all of that. And my eldest won't give me hugs at the moment, he's too cool. Oh, he bites me, doesn't want a hug. My little one still likes a hug, but you know, I am feeling like, oh, I think for me, I just really missing like my girlfriend. And
yeah.
And also what I've been doing is having this thing of on Zoom, like, you know, meeting up with friends, also like bashing out creative ideas, giving each other support. I think we need to do a lot more of that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't maybe do enough of. Especially, I was reading like The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe with Oliver, and I was doing all the voices and things like that, and I thought, I'm really good at that. And they were like, no. Okay, so I gave it a good bash. But basically, at the back of the book, it said that the author, C.S. Lewis, right, is known as Jack to his friends, as it said in the little back bit, would like meet up with Tolkien, who wrote, didn't know if I pronounce name right, Lord of the Rings, and they'd meet up in the pub and they would chat about their ideas. Can you imagine? Out of the pub came the Chronicles of Narnia, came, you know, the trilogy of Lord of the Rings. We need to be doing more of that as creatives. We need to be chatting. We need to be bouncing ideas. We shouldn't be scared to share ideas. I mean, I've never been scared to share ideas. But also, there's a thing in the culturally, often you would pitch ideas to like TV companies and things, and then they could just go and make them without bringing you involved. So I can see why some people in the media industry are worried about that. I mean, the really ethical, good companies should do that, but sometimes it happens. But actually, it's so powerful if you've got a little group of people, two or three people that you trust, talk about those things. But I hope it's been useful, guys.
Definitely.
I'm going to have to go and eat my dinner.
I feel a bit like I've blagged
it on your podcast because you kind of email me about like, hey, if you're doing a roundup, mention our podcast. And I was like, hey, I'll come on your podcast.
Thanks for letting me. It's great to have you on.
Yeah, it's been lovely. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, guys. And, you know, hope everything goes well for you. I know it will.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.